this conference will...
Busy. Okay, so let's jump in and get back to strategic acceleration. Let me just... do I have somebody? I thought I just heard somebody.
I was going to ask a question, but then I said this conference is now being recorded. So
no, we can record your question. Go ahead.
Oh, you mentioned something about a program in January of the 8th or something like that.
Did I say something about a program?
Yeah, I can't remember. I'll tell you what it's called in a second.
I know we're going to presidential. Go ahead.
You mentioned something about Navigate.
Yeah, Navigate. That's a new program that Manatech will be adopting, and you'll probably hear about it after we get back from the presidential trip to Hawaii.
Navigate, so is that instead of the map that we're using?
Well, it's. I shouldn't say it's instead of. It's a whole. I mean, it's like a multi-million-dollar program that's all done. You know, it's got a lot of bling to it, a lot of blitz to it. It's a program that's all computer generated. It's all new software to help you lead, guide, and direct people to get the information they need and intrigue them to get involved with Manatech. And if you haven't seen it, because Jeff Allen's been doing a number of, I don't want to get into it in a big way on this call. Jeff Allen's been doing a number of trainings on it, having people look at it. And maybe, you know, I can give you a little taste of it. Maybe what I'll have Lydia do is send out one of the links just to show you. Just give him my email. Oh, okay. Let's give you here. If you want to just taste a test of it, you can go to It's www.navig, NAVIG, and then the number 8. .biz, B-I-Z, and then put a / and put in M-J-H. Now, there are 8 different links you can go to. You can do M-J-H. Yeah, but don't fill in your email address when it says, would you like more information, because then you guys will all be bombarding. I'll get 100 emails in my email bank. It's a follow-up system where you send people a video clip, and if they're intrigued, you'll see the kind of pop-up that comes on your screen after the video you look at, and it'll say, if you want more information, fill in your information, okay, and you'll get a free gift. Well, if you fill in your information there, people, you're going to be bombarding Mary Jo's email bank. I mean, I can't stop you from doing that so you can all get your free gift, but I'm just asking you not to do it, perhaps, because then we'll just be deleting, because I'm not going to send you the response that I normally would, because you're not prospects. You're people that are just, you know, testing the system. But it'll give you an idea. And the MJH, I have 8 different sites, so MJH is the first one. You can put MJH1, MJH2, MJH3. If you want to test all of them, some are on skincare, some are on weight loss, some are on the social entrepreneurship. They're all different, you know, different videos that you see. Okay. Lydia's trying to make it easier for you, but maybe what we do after the call's over, because we got a lot to cover today. Maybe after the call's over, Lydia will send out just an email, and we'll just try to explain it to you in that. How's that? Better for everybody? Rather than jump in and do all that stuff. But you got my link now, and like I said, you can use that, or Lydia and I will talk about it after we get off this call to make it more easier for you in terms of a description, okay? Because we want you to get excited about it, but we don't want to get into it because it's not available. You could buy it from Australia today, but you don't want to do that because it's very expensive. We have it from Australia, and we still haven't gotten our box, and we ordered it 2.5 weeks ago. So Manatech's taking it over internally, so it's going to come from the U.S. So just know that it's in process. But continue doing what you're doing. It's beautiful. You know, I'm using the MAP program as we have, and I'm using everything that we have today. It's a blast, and I'm doing well at that. And this is just going to be one further step. All right. So let's not make life too confusing for everybody, especially since we have a big month ahead of us in December. We all want to tackle a lot of things. All right, so let's jump in. Okay. Yep. Navigate, Lydia says Navigate, which NAVIG 8, the number 8, group, GROUP.com. And there's an overview video there, navigategroup.com, navig, and then the letter, the number 8, group.com, and there's a video presentation, an overview presentation there as well, okay? It's a 10-minute presentation for you, so you get an idea. But, okay, all right, enough on Navigate, but we will send you a follow-up just to isolate those things as well. All right, Lydia, do you want to restart the... Oh, she's going to have to just cut off the front. Okay, so let's jump in. Let's talk about strategic acceleration. And let me just highlight to you, I've gotten some responses from the field. I have one group that actually went out and checked the book out of the library. What a brilliant way of doing it. So, you know, you don't have to go out and buy all these books. Just go to the library and check out the book. And she's going to work with her associates and go through this book with her team. How awesome is that? And congratulations to you. That's a wonderful idea, and I think it's awesome that you're taking on the initiative to do that. It's a great book, and let's jump in. What I want to do first today is last week we tackled the first couple chapters of the book, and I gave everybody 6 exercises to do, and I know there's probably some of you on this call that didn't jump into them and do them, but I'm going to just suggest to you, take the time and energy to do that. I mean, you got to choose for you what's important to you. If your business is important to you, then you'll do this because this is such an awesome exercise. I did the exercise, and I as I talked to Lydia about it this morning, I said, you know, Lydia, I need to go back and do it again because I felt like even after doing all those exercises, as much as it dug into me and it caused me to become naked to myself, you know, because it's a lot of it's self-evaluation, where I am, what's important to me, all these kind of questions that are so critical for us to evaluate. And we don't do enough of that. Would everybody agree on this call? Probably. If I had you all in the room, you'd be raising your hands, yes. But what it did for me, it was just really started digging. And there's some things that are uncovered. And I think it's awesome because now I want to go back and I want to like really jump into some of the things that it uncovered for me because I'm seeing some things differently. But what I want to do this morning, just in our first 15 minutes, and then I want to jump into, you know, stage 2, because we're going to do this book for 4 weeks. So be prepared for this because each one builds on the next one. So that's why I really beseech you guys to go back and do exercise 1 through 6 if you haven't done it. But let's run through the first 6 exercises. And I need some feedback from you guys in the field. In terms of if you did it, you know, what did you find from it? Because that's what I'd like to hear. You don't need to hear everything that Mary Jo found from it, but I will offer up some things for myself. The first exercise was creating voluntary change. And remember, we talked about this last week as absolutely crucial that if we keep doing, it kind of gets back to that whole thing about insanity. If we keep doing what we've always been doing, we're going to continue getting the same results. And that's one thing that why every December I always tell people to, you know, do a sheet that says this is what I did last year and this is what I'm going to do differently this year. You know, that was one of my, you know, if you look back at last year's on the mana train, the things I taught and goal setting and everything, you're going to see that that's like step one. So very much the same concept here is that, you know, we've got to look at and evaluate our activities based on what we're doing and what we need to shift, how we need to shift, because I don't want to create the same results I did in 2011. I want to create, my goal is creating extraordinary results in life because I know that God's empowered me to do that. And it's like, it's up to me to step into it. I can't sit back and wait for things to happen. I need to step into that. So what does that look like for me? What shifts do I need to make? And the first exercise, Create Voluntary Change, talks about that. It says, what are my daily opportunities and choices? And so you fill that out with what are my daily opportunities? Did anyone do that exercise and want to share a little bit about the change audit, about their daily opportunities, stressors, 5 most important actions that bring value to my business or my personal life, top 5 actions I can either delegate or spend less time on, and then if I spend less time on actions in number 4 and focus more on number 3, what would that mean? Anyone want to share? If I don't get people to share, you're going to hear Mary Jo. Anyone? You guys are quiet. Maybe some of you are just kind of blocked. Well, let me dig in and just give you some feedback on mine. I looked at my daily opportunities and choices, and it was pretty I started opening up to what opportunities do I really have, and it's amazing how many prospecting opportunities I have that I don't take advantage of. I mean, I'm not prepared. I go grocery shopping a lot. I do a lot of different things, you know, mailbox, all that. And I start looking at my life saying, you know, Mary Jo, 10 years ago, every person you bumped into, there would be an interaction. And I said, I don't have that today. I'm not doing that anymore. What's happened to me? Do I think I've arrived? What's going on for me? I hear somebody got off of mute. Did somebody want to share? Anyway, so I started looking at that there's a whole level of prospecting out there that I'm not doing, right? And so I have these huge opportunities out there. I have huge opportunities of building contact lists. I have, you know, we remember I trained on prospecting up. You know, I can go in and look at real estate brokers and real estate agents and mortgage investment bankers and things like that, and I have endless contacts out there. But what am I doing with them? So I have daily choices that I can make whether I'm contacting and working with these people or not, and I'm not doing that as well. So there's things that are out there I'm not doing. And then I looked at, you know, what my daily opportunities and what kind of choices am I making? And I looked at what am I choosing to spend time on? Well, I've started looking at where my time is allocated, and I can watch and see these different areas that I'm spending time on. That I'm spending time on things like sports. I do a lot of stuff on that. I'm spending time on different, you know, I just started allocating and looking at where am I losing time. But most of it wasn't myself really losing time as much as it was I wasn't stepping into the opportunities that were given to me across the board, because the Lord gives me opportunities every moment of my life, and I'm just not stepping into them. And even Lydia the other day, she said, Mary Jo, we just went to Office Depot. Why didn't you share with that woman in the checkout line? And I just looked at her, and it was like, it was really, you know, where was I? If I'm here on earth to pour into other people's lives, why am I not doing it every opportunity I get? So it was real insight to me that, wow, what a shift that I've made away from that, and I need to shift back to that. I looked at my stressors in my life, and some of my stressors, probably some of you relate, lack of organization, lack of planning, you know, not keeping on top of my financials on a monthly basis with my business. There's some things that are out there that kind of that create stress in my life. And I'm not a big stressed out person. That's not really big for Mary Jo, because I really, you know, I believe anything's possible, so I can create magic out of things. But I still, failure to plan is a plan for failure. And here I was finding myself, where am I falling off on that? What happened to my daily to-do list? Sometimes I slack off on that, and that stresses me out. So I could see the lack of discipline, you know, like kind of creeping into my life. And boy, that's huge. That just, you know, it was really cool doing this change audit, because boy, you know, it's a reality check. The five most important actions that bring value to my business or personal life. Well, for me, my personal life is just spending time in Scripture, and you know, I used to be involved in Bible studies almost 24, you know, 12 months of the year, and that's kind of slacked off a little bit. And I go, wow, that's huge. So what's going on in my personal life when I can't commit to that? Spending time with my family, my husband, you know, I can look at what's at. Just yesterday, I usually get stressed out by him when he drives me around in the car doing shopping, and he said, I love this time with you. And I was like, oh. It was so funny, because my reaction was, I hate this time. It was, and so I just said, but because I had just gone through this exercise, it was such a beautiful thing. I mean, over the last week, it was a neat thing for me to say, I appreciate that, and I'm here to be, you know, what does love look like now? That's, by the way, that's my new saying with my husband, is in each and every instance, I always say, what does love look like here? And that's what my goal is. What does love look like here? I start asking that question. I don't know, that might help some of you, and I'd love to do just a talk just on that issue, because it's been a major shift in me to increase my relationship with my husband, was what does love look like here? Each time I feel anxious or anxiety or stress or whatever, I just go to that place of what does love look like here? And it totally shifts me. So, yeah, because that's what my core being is. And so I looked at five most important actions, spending time with my husband, and and then looking at my business. Well, what's the most important actions for our business? Of course, sharing, right? And the other thing is motivating people to take action. How am I not motivating my people in my organization? How can I be a better leader in my organization? So more of an accountability partner, more of a mentor, more of a coach to them. And so I have to start looking at shifts, and I can see shifts in myself around that as well. Five actions I can either delegate. I've got plenty of those. And then, you know, the difference in my life. What would be the difference in my life? Huge. I mean, if I spend less time on the actions in number four, the things that I spend time on, like sports and reading papers and stuff like that, and spend more time on the actions in number three, the five most important actions, what's going to be the result? Well, I'm going to have less stress. I'm going to be incredibly more productive. I'll have tremendous clarity around the direction I'm going, and instead of being like looking at bunny trails, and the results will be obviously my business will be much more successful, as will I. So, cool. Exercise number two. So again, go through exercise number one. It'll enlighten you. Exercise number two and three are really awesome because, you know, you and I are built on belief systems. Our whole lives is about what we believe. And our beliefs are about so many things. They picked out 10 items, and I love the 10 that he's picked out in this exercise, exercise two, which is understanding my influences. Because remember, when we trained on this last week, we talked about our reality, you know, and I love this, the fact that, you know, we sit here and looking at our reality, that perception is reality even if it's not the truth. Our perception is our reality even if it's not the truth. So get that clear. What we believe in is our reality, even if it has no foundation in truth. It happens to be where our belief system is today. And, you know, let me share with you something else that happened this week that was so awesome for me. I was in the car with Lydia, and she loves this new book by, you know, about Steve Jobs. And in this book, I don't know how many of you have read it, but, I mean, this guy was an incredible man, I mean, on a lot of levels. I mean, he was incredibly off kilter when it taught him, and he's totally into drugs and totally, I mean, you could see all these different aspects of his life, but a creative genius. But he had this concept called distorted reality theory. And when I heard that in the car, my whole beingness I almost flipped out. It was like my whole body went, wow, that is so awesome. Because what it represented to me, and I haven't even read the book. I just heard it on the radio, because she's playing this in her radio. I don't know all the technology today, but man, she hooks up everything to that radio. I can even hear a Milwaukee station, like yesterday going to church at night, I heard the Milwaukee station playing my Green Bay Packer game, right? I don't know how Lydia does it, but I'm not going to get into technology. But I'm sitting here listening to Steve Jobs' book on her radio in the car last week, and he said distorted reality theory. Do you people get this, that our reality is our perception? And it's distorted because it's limited. Because our perception can only be our perception, right? So I looked at this as like, this is incredible because, you know, like Steve Jobs, he never believed that this was all anything could be. He always believed it could be greater. And he didn't even always have any idea how the greater is. He just always believed that we had that ability to go one step further. We could make it that much better. He would come up with an idea and have no clue how it could be potentially put in place, but he knew that it could be. Does that make sense? So our reality is what our belief system is, and it's a distorted sense of reality. So what we need to do is we need to take that belief system or that whatever our perception is, and we have to say, that's just a box we're choosing to live in. And there's so much greater outside that box. So we need to look, start, and what an incredible, I mean, the combination. I mean, I just know God's working in my life in incredible ways. Because, I mean, why did he bring this into my life last week as I was going through my belief window, right? I mean, it was like, oh, my gosh. And so I started writing down my beliefs about myself, my work, my family, what love, enemies, friends, spirituality, recreation, politics, money. I mean, these are incredible topics, people. I totally understand how he grabbed onto these 10 because I believe we all live in a distorted reality concept around these situations. I believe we have a belief window about self that is distorted. So when we write them down, it's incredible to write off all the things that we, our beliefs, where our beliefs, because that's what our reality is what our beliefs are. True or false, it's our perception, so it becomes our reality. So write that down, and I bet some of you, when you get to that money thing, you're going to just, it's going to really blow you apart, because that's a big issue for lots of people, especially today. And I had the honor of being able to share with some people, in fact, some of the people I was in that train, the trainers with Patrick and Nancy, and Nancy came up to me as I walked into that session the very first day, and Nancy Dean, Patrick's wife, and she said, Mary Jo, you totally blew my money programs out of the water, and I never have thanked you for that. And it was just such an incredible experience with her, that my experiences around money, the way I shifted so dramatically 5-6 years ago, had that great impact on her, and that was awesome. But money is one of those things that, man, it's a roadblock in so many of our lives, and you got to start building around that money thing. That's a huge, maybe I'd love to do a training just on that one, to kind of what I went through with Nancy, too. I mean, it's just how we get stuck around our belief system around money. It's huge. It just stops us it's a roadblock that just really stops us dead in the water. So it's important for us to be really honest with ourselves and say, what is my belief system around these things? Some people put down money and they'll go, I never have enough. Right? And then you look at Mary Jo's and she writes down, money can be created in 101 ways. There's endless possibilities in creating money, right? So it's just, and then expectation. I have an expectation of more millions will come into to serve my vision. And, you know, that's how my view on money. And so there's just different views on different things like in here. And I'm not going to share you all of mine because each of you are going to be, each of us is built differently and we have different views on this. But it's important for us to tackle each of these and put them down. Exercise 3 was understanding our strategic beliefs. And what we do is after you do exercise 2, which is invaluable, because what you're doing is you're building your reality. That's your reality you're living in today. And then what you do is you look at exercise 3, and it says you want to go back and say, is any of it possibly false? In other words, is there some things that you've written down there that aren't actually true? And you want to just take a highlighter and go back and say, could this be false? And highlight. Is this absolutely true? No, not necessarily. And highlight it. And watch how many you go back and you take a highlighter and actually highlight. It's amazing. And then what you do is you go back and you approach your consideration as if it were 10 years ago. Where were you 10 years ago? And, you know, when I went back and looked at mine and said, where was I 10 years ago? There were so many things that were so very different. My concept around money was totally different 10 years ago. My concept around politics was very different 10 years ago. My concept around my spirituality was very, very different 10 years ago. My concept of love was very, very different 10 years ago. It was amazing how many things, and that's just a great aha experience. I'm telling you, people, these experiences, if you do these exercises, they're life-changing. They're life-changing. And to watch the transformation that occurred in my life in the last 10 years around a lot of these major belief systems, which are what I create as my own reality, my perception is my reality, wow. It just opened up that whole floodgates of, Mary Jo, you can create your own reality every day by just choices you make around what you believe. And that's a huge premise to operate from, because now anything is possible, right? Because your belief system is your belief system. You can create that. You choose it. And then exercise 4 was just outlining what you need to do to get what you want. And it's kind of an action plan, and you set up a goal or objective. And my goal or objective wasn't isolated to one thing, because I have a couple foundations now, and I really want to drive those foundations. My big goal is to have you know, to be able to create like $30,000 to $40,000 to $50,000+ on a monthly basis of extra cash flow. I mean, above and beyond what it takes for my family to build like $50,000 of cash flow, extra cash flow monthly, so that I can support my foundations, so that, and I have a big, huge, I mean, vision that came to me over the last month that, you know, it's been something building up in me, but my, and I'll share it with you, just to put it out there. There's a risk factor in doing that, because now it's like people are going to go, okay, Mary Jo, how are you doing on this? And that's great. But my big vision that came to me in the last month or so was the concept that where is our biggest health crisis? Our biggest health crisis occurs in low-income areas, because that's where people are finding their dollars are stretched the best if they go to McDonald's. Low-income areas are people that are eating a lot of garbage. They're putting a lot of trash in their bodies, and our education needs to occur at that level. And so I have this vision of educational centers that are built that really help low-income families and just give them instructional ways on a very inexpensive way and doable techniques to utilize to maximize the health. And I also have a vision of these low-income centers also being a distribution outlet for Phytoblend. Is that not awesome? Because once we tackle, see, I'm already beyond tackling global malnutrition. Now I'm trying to say, how do we use Phytoblend in an effective way to help the average American, low-income average American, who can barely, you know, afford proper foodstuffs? How can I help get them something that's going to help boost their nutritional value on a monthly basis? So I can see 5 years from now how Phytoblend is going to be distributed through these educational centers that are helping people with their food supply, you know, feeding their children properly. Anyway, so that's kind of another vision. I don't know, you guys, that's kind of stretching me a little bit. But okay, so I have this action plan. So my goal or objective is I need to be able to be in a posture. The other thing that I need to be doing is I need to be, you know, taking different action to get there. But I put a whole action plan. I had 9 steps on my action plan of what needs to be and by dates. And I tried to keep mine within a time frame that was reasonable, like 12 months. I find it hard to build a 5-year plan. I know what it needs to look like. In 5 years, I want it implemented, but I'm building my plan for year one. You know, I have this concept, but I really, which is the 5-year plan is out there, but it's, I rather deal with bite sizes. Some of you are like that. Some of you need the 5-year plan, whatever works for you. But right now I have a 5-year plan that's kind of out there, you know, concept-wise, but I'm working off a 12-month plan for 2012. And then the next exercise 5, document my vision, what I want, and that's part of that is this health education centers in low-income neighborhoods across the United States. And why I want it, that's a huge thing. And I wrote in my why, because God is my Father. He wants me to help the less fortunate, and He will equip me if I just keep listening, if I just keep open. And that's what I put in terms of my why. So, but I also understand what I need to do to get there. I need to surround myself with more movers and shakers. I have to get outside my comfort zone, and I didn't think I had one, but I do have one. I have a definite box around Mary Jo that prevents me from reaching out to people and getting help from others. I have a real, I have like a roadblock around me around that, because I feel so totally competent within myself that I've failed to reach out and get help from other people. And I'm breaking that barrier down so that I can truly fulfill this vision that I have, this and get rid of my distorted reality, right? Okay. And then exercise number six is unlock your internal keys to success. And that's great. This is a great, I love this exercise too, because it's like, what are your strengths and what are your gifts? And then your characteristics that describe you, so you can write all those down, everything that you believe you are, that's your perception of who you are, right? This is how I describe myself. And characteristics that do not describe me, you know, and so what you'd put down in that, and then the roles that you have, what am I? I'm a mother, an aunt, I'm a wife, I'm I'm, of course, my number one was God's child. I'm a leader. I'm a boss. I'm a follower as well. I'm an athlete. I mean, I have all these things written down of who I am, my roles that I play in my life, my top priorities, and you're going to write those down. For me, of course, that was the love of the Lord and doing His will in my life, you know, love my husband, care for my kids, protect those close to me. And, you know, I also put love everyone. You know, that's a top priority for me, love everyone, and contribute to everyone. So those are top priorities. How others perceive me, and I wrote down some of that. You guys would probably laugh because I don't know if you, I mean, it's really hard to know how others perceive me. I had to share it with Lydia a little bit on some of that, but you put down what people might see in you, and that's the good and the bad. So I wrote down those too. Sometimes I think some people, you know, I put down I'm driven, I'm caring, I'm into contribution, I'm trustworthy, I'm a friend. I tend not to be a good team player sometimes because that's that same concept of reaching out and getting other people to contribute to you. I tend sometimes to be opinionated, and I think people might say that, and thus that making me a poor listener. I want to be the best listener I can be. So I put down some of that stuff. So I'm kind of bearing my soul to you guys. But this is what you need to do in here. And then what others misunderstand about me, and that's really dig deep. What do you think people? How do you think people misunderstand you? And this is a great exercise because it shows you. It starts digging into you of how are you not exposing yourself? In other words, what are you holding back inside of you that you're not sharing with others? Because that's really why people misunderstand you or they don't see it in you because you're not showing up that way. And it's an incredible, you know, in Clemmer they do something called a feedback arc where you get to stand in front of a group of five or six people in a team and you express yourself and then people give you feedback. And I'll never forget my experience around that because my perception of myself was one way. When I went through that feedback arc, this is like 10 years ago, people, this is way back, okay? I'll never forget what they said about me. And I was like so upset about it. But, I it was just feedback. So it's not truth. It happens to be their perception of what is their reality. But perception, remember, what is the strength of perception? It is reality. Whether it's true or not, it's a reality. So I had to work on me that I wasn't putting out this image or this perception because I was creating it without knowing it. And so that's an awesome exercise as well. So, and you can, you know, when you get into that last exercise, number six, I think another thing that you can do is you can work with other people and ask them questions about how they perceive you. Get some feedback. Just ask, but tell them, I just need your feedback. Total honesty. It's not truth or what, it's just your perception. What is feedback about me? What do you see in, you know, strengths and weaknesses? And just ask like five of your closest friends and your spouse. And what a reality check. How are you coming across? And spouses aren't always that good because they might not be as honest as you need them to be, but, you know, it's an effort you can put forth. Okay, how's that? Does that help you guys through these exercises? I don't know how many of you have done them, but I'm going to tell you, they're invaluable. And what a way to start laying a foundation of kicking off your 2012. So let's jump in. Are you guys committed to doing them? Can I hear from anybody on the call?
Yes, I love it. And I had actually done most of it.
Have you?
Yeah, I have. And I got a lot more ideas from what you just did, and especially when you went through Clemmer. And I think the one that's going to be really important for me is that number six.
Yeah.
That you just threw.
Yeah, huge, huh? What am I putting out there? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
How am I misunderstood? And that's gigantic, man, because it really is about people have this perception of me, and that's not who I am. So, wow, you know.
Yeah.
How am I generating that? What is my beingness that I need to look at and start shifting so that I can be perceived differently? Yeah, great.
And, you know, these are different levels of the kinds of people you want perceiving, you know, that are perceiving you. Like right now, we just discussed this morning, doing the Rukut up, you know, and
right.
just... You know, doing, tell, you know, telephoning, you know, finding new friends.
Right.
Said the right thing. But that's a different kind of, you know, you have to work on your telephone perception, too.
Absolutely. And with telephone perception, it's harder because you don't have a visual perception. So all they get from you is the tone of your voice, what the words are that you're using, your ability to be a good listener, hear them, you know. When they interrupt you, even though you might consider it rude, you stop because this isn't about you. It's about them. Getting off your agenda and allowing them to step into being right about things, right? It's just an intriguing. You got to look at all of that and say, wow, I'm so caught up in my own agenda. I'm so caught up in my ABCs. And Anne happens to be an, for those on the call, Anne happens to be an analyst quadrant. And that's a very tough quadrant because, boy, they tend not to want to give in. They have all the data and they have all the in and they've got the 1, 2, 3, 4. Remember, they're the ones with 7 different colored pens in their top pocket, and it's very hard for analysts to really be quiet and allow, you know, something to come up that they don't agree with because they have the data to show it's not right. You know, and so they make people wrong a lot because they are right. You know, they have clarity over
that. Yeah. You know, couple that with a need. Right program.
Yeah, the need to be right program is a killer, man. The need to be right program will destroy more relationships in your life than like almost any other program. It is just, it's so self-destructive. And I can only tell you that because I lived in it for 41 years. I mean, I get it. I get it real big, and I still work on it every day. Okay. All right. Thank you, Anne, for your share. Great. So everybody jump in. Do these exercises if you haven't done them yet. Dig in, and we'll take more feedback next week as we go into the next step. But we've got to – I've only got 15 minutes left, so I want to get through clarity. Clarity, because clarity is so big, and I'm spending the second week on clarity, and then next week we're going to jump into focus. Okay? But clarity is the underlying foundation. Without clarity – none of the other stuff matters. I don't care what your goals are for Manatech. None of it matters until you get clarity. And all of these exercises are about supporting you in clarity. So I'm suggesting, you know, I just went through my experience around the 6 exercises as an overview. I'm going to go back and redo those 6 this week again because I feel like I can dig deeper. I can be more in touch with, you know, with what I'm building as my new reality. And that's what's important to me. And really listen for me, because of my relationship with the Lord, is really listen to Him, because He's got me like shifting in my church too on some new ministries. We're developing 2 new ministries there, and it's just, oh man, that's just, it's, and that's why people in my church love to talk. My pastor's wife, she's like, because she goes, Mary Jo, you don't believe there's any limitation. And I go, well, is there a limitation on God? And she just starts laughing because, you know, people think so small instead of thinking what they potentially can create and all the ramifications of it. So anyway, but let me dig through the rest of this, our outline today. Clarity equation. Now, attached to your outline today is the clarity equation. And if you look at exercise 9, you're going to see what it is. And you're going to create this for yourself because some of you are still stuck out there, and I am too. I mean, we all are, about having total clarity. And he gives you a perfect recipe for clarity. What plus why over purpose plus value equals clarity. So we need to get the what, the why, the purpose, and the value, and that's how we achieve clarity, right? So we get, look at, he says, understanding the why. And, you know, you and I talk about the why a lot in Manatech because we say, why do you love Manatech? Why, you know, but it's really important that we know why you do what you do. Why? And it requires you to understand purpose and value of all that you do. You have to understand the purpose, and you have to understand the value in order to understand the why. So it's not just about, why do I do it? I do it because I like it. No, that's not right. What's the purpose? What's the value? So definitionally, how do we define clarity? And there are 101 ways to define clarity. People out there will give you different definitions, you know, every time you ask the question. Some people describe clarity as special focus. Others, awakening, a revelation, an epiphany. Others would say it's uncluttered understanding about their purpose and priorities. And his definition that he uses, what I think is great just to get clarity on a definition, having an unfettered view of your vision. Now, some of you on this call are going, wow, Mary Jo, I'm not even close to that. I agree. And maybe that's what's causing you to stumble so much in your Manatech business, is that you just, if you don't have the vision clear, it's hard for you to have focus and execution. That vision is so important. And he talks about the different visions of different people and how it took them out of abject poverty to create unbelievable results, but by the strength of a vision. And a people, you know, what does it say in Scripture? People die for lack of vision, right? I mean, it's like we need vision. We need which is what you want and why you want it, fed by an understanding of its purpose and value. What you want, why you want it, fed by an understanding of its purpose and value. Right, just take your highlighter right now and highlight that in your outline. Having an unfettered view of your vision, which is what you want, why you want it, fed by an understanding of its purpose and value. And the details of that quality equation is in exercise 9, which is one of the exercises you're going to do, so you can look at that. Articulating your vision. What do you really want? Some of you don't have a clue. But it's something you got to start grappling with, because that's what's holding you back. You got to have clear. What do you really want? Why do you want it? What is your overreaching objective, the thing you desire the most, and why is it so important to you? These are great questions, and as outline people, answer them. Dig into this. This is your vision. The why is very important. It can make you or break you on your road to success. Without it, your belief may not be legitimate, and it's clearly, right? Without the vision, your belief will not be strong enough to support your voluntary change, much less support you in influencing, leading, guiding, directing others. Won't happen. So some of you have stepped into leadership in Manatech. You're going, I'm just not an effective leader. Well, why is that? Maybe lack of vision is your foundational, you know, fallback, because you never have developed that for yourself. You've never seen it. And does vision change from time? You know, when I was back, you know, 10 years ago, my vision was different. 5 years ago, it was different. You know, why? Because the Lord takes us. And for me, not everybody has to have the same, you know, spiritual beliefs, but, you know, I feel directed differently. As I grow, He uses me more. So He uses me for doing different things. 5 years ago, I didn't have a vision to have low-income health centers. I didn't have that. Today, I have that. It is so crystal clear to me where our number one healthcare crisis exists. And so I want to go after that. That's on my heart. It's the people that I can go into their communities, and I'll never get them signed up and registered on Manatech. Because you know what? They don't have the money to do it. But can I still contribute in their life in a million ways to be able to support them to have better health? Absolutely. So that means Mary Jo shifts. Doesn't mean I give up on my Manatech business. It's I use my Manatech business as a vehicle to create that. Isn't that awesome? I mean, that's the vision. So you gotta get that vision in your brain. You gotta get that clarity. Because otherwise, you're not going to change. You're not going to have influence over others. You're not going to be able to live with a passion. And you know, no one in my life has ever looked at Mary Jo and said, "Mary Jo, you lack passion." No, it's not. I mean, people have said to me, "You have too much passion," but no one has ever looked at me and said, "You lack passion." I am extremely passionate, but it's because I have such a strong, strong belief in changing. And being that change vehicle in this world, because boy, do we need help. And we needed help 10 years ago. It's not just because our economy shot today, and it's not just because we're in a greater crisis today. Every day we get in a greater crisis because we keep creating greater crises. So it's not because of any level of crises we're in. It's just because we always are in a position of needing help. There are always people less fortunate. There always is a position for us to play a greater role in helping out, reaching out, putting that hand forward. So you need to articulate the vision, the why. Then as a leader, you'll forever be pushing. Okay, if you don't articulate it, this is one thing I loved in his book because it applied to all of us in Manatech. If you guys have ever signed somebody up and you tried to drive their business for them, help them, how many of you felt like you've had to push the person every step of the way? Absolutely. We've had to push. You know, I'm done pushing anybody. Because if they can't develop for themselves a vision of what they want to create in their lives, this is why we hammer on the why so much. But I think we need to have, in fact, I'm going to build a new sheet based on this book that I'm going to implement in my MAP program. Because I'm not sure the why is enough. I think it has to be a little bit more expanded to incorporate what Tony Geary is saying here. That clarity I want. Because otherwise people take pie-in-the-sky stuff. They don't know what, why. They don't have the purpose or the value. They haven't done the full analysis of it. I want all of that done. So I'm building a new why sheet around that so that it's really clear. And that's what's going to do. Because then what happens is their goal pulls them in their direction. It's not Mary Jo pushing anymore. Are you guys tired of pushing people? Yeah, thanks. Raise your hand if everybody can agree with that one. Me too. He talked about purpose-driven life. You know, Rick Warren's book, he says, if we're alive, there's a purpose in our life. And I love this quote, so I put it in here for you guys. When it comes to leadership, the ability to communicate purpose in conjunction with a vision has a powerful effect on others. The reason it is powerful is that purpose provides specific direction and it begins to bring practical application to a vision. So a vision isn't pie in the sky. It's not just something out there that we're detached from. Because a vision without a purpose can look like a whim or just, right? It's a whim. It's a wish. It's a hope. It's kind of out there. It's not a commitment. So look at your vision for your Manatech business and tell me, is that a whim? Maybe. He says, answer one simple question to understand how purpose can and will contribute to the clarity you have about your vision. I want you to take a highlighter, 4D, in your outline. Why is what I want important to me and to others? Answer that question. If you can't articulate the specific reasons why your vision is important to you and to others, then you do not understand your purpose. All right, so I put a couple examples in there. In going to war, the vision might be to win the war, but the purpose of the war is to preserve freedom. In doing the Manatech business, the vision might be to get to presidential or platinum presidential, but the purpose of doing the business is I truly want to end this country's dependence on sick care. In other words, the pills people are popping. The unbelievable amount of surgeries done that never have to happen, right? That's what I want to end. I want to end global malnutrition. I want to fund my two foundations so that there's at least 10,000 going to each one of these foundations on a monthly basis. What's my, these are the things that are really truly purposeful. And part of my ending the country's dependence on sick care is developing these local low-income health education centers. That's correct. Okay, just do exercise 8 to help you define your purpose, visions, purpose, and value. So that's part of your homework this week. We have 7, 8, 9, 3 exercises that you're adding. So see what happens. You didn't do 1 through 6. Now you're down by 9 exercises to do. So stay on top of this, people. It's invaluable for you. And then value, number 5 in the outline. This is really critical for all of us, especially in our Manatech business. Wow, I'm running out of time. Because it talks about cost versus value, and you guys getting stuck in the price versus value. If you have a problem around this issue, I want you to really hammer on this section here on value. What is your understanding of the word? Business today must teach their people to sell based on value versus price. Value is an issue of perception. How do we best communicate it? We best communicate it based on felt needs. In other words, people inherently think about problem solution. They have a problem. If somebody has a problem, I have a problem in my life, my kids aren't healthy, I have a health issue, I have a could disease, I have whatever, okay? So how do I get them to buy the products? Because of the value of the products presents their life. It's the benefit they will see. Remember, feature benefit. We don't sell based on features. We get people to buy in to Manatech based on the benefit to them. It's a problem solution. It's a value to them. It isn't about cost. If you get stuck in price and cost, then you're stuck in scarcity. You are totally stuck in scarcity. So you've got to stop getting yourself stuck in scarcity. And are you going to find people that are also stuck in scarcity? Absolutely. It's an epidemic in our country today. But how do you overcome their scarcity? By value. You sell on value. You sell on, it's an issue of perception. What value do they have in their life? That's how we can get people who are aid to families with dependent children, I mean, we can get them buying Ambertos every month. They'll put everything else aside to make sure that Ambertos, because they get it. They get the value, and that's what we need to be showing people is value. So it's not about just buying another vitamin mineral. It's not about buying that picture of the petroleum oozing out of vitamins. That is part of the value, you know, process for us in terms of showing people value. That's part of that process because we show them what they're getting if they don't invest in real food technology. The alternative, it's the value we have, the distinction between our products and what else is in the marketplace. Critical. Understanding Ambertos is another value decision people make. Right? Tactical versus strategic thinking, this is huge, people, incredible. The most effective way is learning new ways of thinking versus new ways of doing things. What are new ways of doing things? Our Real Switch Challenge was a new way of doing the business. The MAP program was a new way of doing the business and coaching. The new Navigate system is a new way of doing the business. These are new ways. How many of these have we seen over the years? You're going to tell me hundreds. If you've been in Manatech for 12, 15 years, you've seen them. We see them all the time. They're new ways. But what's required of us is a new way of thinking, because for some of you, none of these things have really ever worked for you very well, because it's just another, what, tactical way of doing something. We need to start working on new ways of what? Strategic thinking. What is required of us is a new way of thinking to climb to new higher. And I put an example. Instead of drafting a better follow-up letter, which is tactical, right? Oh, I use, and I'm not saying tactical is bad. Tactical is great, because helpful tools are terrific. What would really serve you best, though, is to learn how to put your mind into that of your prospect so you can truly relate to them and build rapport. And if you don't do that, it doesn't matter how much tactics you use. MTEX Pro, I had like hundreds of people have used MTEX Pro and nothing ever worked for them. Why? Because they were missing. That was just a tactic. You need to change in your strategic thinking. Number 7, in the outline, we talked about consequences of not having clarity. I don't want to tell you the prices you're going to pay, but they're unbelievable. People, symptoms of poor clarity. Here's a symptom to just tell you whether you have poor clarity. People don't believe they can do what they have to do. A lot of you are out there doing that. I don't believe I can do what I have to do to get this Manatech business working. You have a lack of clarity. People use planning to avoid taking action. Does that represent any of you in this room? Right? Think about it. How many of you get stuck in the planning process? That's because lack of clarity. People quit or give up in the face of adversity or difficulty. Wow. We see a lot of Manatech people doing that. But they've given up on 20 other things in their life as well. When is that going to stop for you? When is it going to stop for others? Isn't that something? What if you could go out there? Here, I thought of this. What if you could go out there and just on this premise alone, how you could help people from ever quitting or giving up in the face of adversity. If you could just present that as an opportunity for people, that you have the formula to help them never to quit or give up in the face of adversity. That could you know how many lives you could change just by helping them with that formula? Wow. You'd be the magic maker of the world. You'd be creating unbelievable results in helping people create unbelievable results in their life. And you have that opportunity here because you now can understand that it all starts with clarity. People are confused. And, you know, we're an information barrage. Remember we talked about speed of life and all the stuff that comes upon us? We're not getting better at clarity. We're getting worse. We're just going off the cliff. And now you're stepping into their lives with clarity. Wow. Awesome. if-then thinking. Oh, I love this. If only I would have known this, then I would have, could have, should have. If you use the words would have, could have, should have in your life at any time, I want you to look at that and say, it's not in the dictionary. If you ask Lydia today, she's worked for me for over 7 years, almost eight, I think. It's going to be eight in November. Wow. Eight in February. Wow. She'll tell you that she, I bet you, honestly, she'll say, I've never heard Mary Jo say could have, would have, or should have in my entire 8 years working for her. It doesn't exist in my vocabulary. Because it's all dealing with past. It's dealing with something I have no control over. I don't deal in the past. I learn from the past because I know that I know the only thing I can impact is in the moment. I live in the moment. Through helping make a difference in the moment, I can potentially change the future. But if I'm stuck in the past, I'm not creating anything except depression probably for people. But live in the moment, create the greatest thing you can in the moment. And through that, you can have impact on people's lives. You can impact your own life. You can impact this world so that the future is going to be brighter than what it is today. And that's what we need to start to. So get out of the past. You must know two things to produce clarity. Number one, where you want to be when your vision becomes reality. And number two, an objective understanding of current conditions. So exercise 7 is going to help you understand better the why of things and more fully expand your understanding of your vision's purpose and value. So exercise 7 is crucial for everybody. And then we just talk about the practical effect of clarity and performance. And another great quote in there, people have to believe in what they are doing. They must be committed to achievement. There must be a certain amount of mental toughness and resilience to persevere through difficulties and roadblocks. A certain amount of legitimate excitement never hurts either. And true clarity contributes to all of those qualities. If you want perseverance, if you want mental toughness, if you want resiliency, if you want commitment, if you want excitement, where does it come from? It comes from clarity. Because from clarity, develop these qualities, from those qualities produces power, power to produce results. So clarity is that underlying foundation. So exercise 9 is creating your own recipe for clarity, and I'm going to ask you guys, go at it. I gave you 3 more exercises. This can change your life. I guarantee it will change your 2012 in a zillion ways. So let's jump in and make sure we do exercise 7, 8, 9, okay, for next Monday's call. We now have 1 through 6, 7, 8, 9, and I'm prayerful that at the beginning of the call, I get more of you to step into what are you finding out about yourself in this process and how is it going to serve you in huge ways in 2012? That will be the first question I'm going to ask next Monday on the call. So be with us. Next week, we're going to focus on these 3 exercises, but we're also going to focus on focus. Okay, we're going to focus on focus because that's our next step, clarity. But again, that foundation of clarity is critical. So make sure you get these exercises done again because they build on each other. All right, everybody, love you. Any last-minute comments before we leave? All right, people, have a great week. Getting closer to Christmas, but, you know, there's a ton of people out there that need to hear from you. Step up into being different this week. Take on some new beingness so that you can create different results and work on your clarity. And you'll see tremendous results you'll create from that alone. All right, love you all. Talk to you next week. Have a great week.